Yo, what's going on, man? This is E-Dub. We are back with the Who Got Next podcast, and I'm back with a brand new episode. Hope everybody's been doing okay. And I have another guest up here that's going to be speaking with me about what she has going on in the QC, Miss Jamie Miller. How you doing, ma'am?
Hello.
Everything good with you?
Yes, everything is good.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was great. Friday, I worked a lot. I was trying to catch up. I went out of town a week before, so trying to catch up. New clients, so I'm onboarding, getting them ready. And Saturday, I was lazy, and then I started watching All American.
I actually started that yesterday, and I've been binging.
Yeah, so I'm on episode 16, I think. So I am almost done. I think that's the last episode.
Okay, I'm on episode 4.
Okay.
I don't care about him. I got a question. Because by the time you hear it, everybody be saying, have you watched it? Okay. On episode 4, five, which is where I'm at, I'm trying to figure out, that is his father, but I'm trying to figure out 6 years ago how he doesn't know how he looked.
So
are they going to explain that?
So you have to watch.
Okay, all right.
And they'll explain it, because I had the very same question.
Okay, so don't tell me that. Because I'm sitting there I'm scratching my head like, hold on, this dude, this kid he's very aware.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you not know something? Okay, thank you.
Right. Yeah.
So when I get home, I'm going to go ahead and watch it, because I was watching it before I came in to record, and I had to stop it.
You got to watch it, because I had the very same exact question.
Okay.
And then there's an episode that hit me that kind of reminded me of Nipsey, so you're gonna have to watch for that.
Okay.
They did play Grinding All My Life. Did you catch that in like the first episode?
It was the first episode.
Yep.
When it was going around the car, I did catch that. Yep. Okay. Oh, I'm just rude. We just up here just talking, just chopping up a storm. Okay. Jamie Miller's here.
Yeah.
And she owns 518 Group.
Yes.
It's not 5-8. You say 518.
You know, either or, it still does the same.
518. When you thought about it, how did it? You said
518.
We're gonna say 518. If that's what you call it, just like, you know, then Muhammad Ali mama named him Cassius first, that's what we're gonna call it. So 518. But you own 518 Group,
yes.
Which is a independent small boutique firm, where you're doing event planning and event marketing, right?
Yes, it's more event marketing instead of event planning.
Okay. And I just want to kind of talk to you about that. I think with Charlotte and what I've been seeing, which kind of, you know, reason why I'm doing a podcast, I just see a lot of people that's doing, I think, a lot of great things, or they're finding their own way, their own path.
Mm-hmm.
With Charlotte being such a growing city, I think Charlotte is in that, we're still in that gray area. We're still trying to figure it out. I work in corporate America. I work in the banking industry. So that's been thriving here. But I think there's another side that I think is starting to get light. And I think a lot of us start to take our careers, you know, by the horns as far as like what you want to do. And I know with you, your story is similar to an entrepreneur story, but there's always something different.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like to talk to people about what got you to where you at now.
Sure.
So I guess how to start it off is that you in corporate America at first?
I was. I started out at, we say liquor, of course, but it's a spirits industry. So I started out in the beverage industry. I was a spirits rep for 2 years for a company in Greenville, South Carolina. So I moved upstate and I worked there, and I loved what I did. But I realized that it was just time for me to go because mm-hmm. I wasn't able to really express my creativity. Mm-hmm. And I also felt like they were trying to cap my growth.
Right.
In terms of, you know, the things that I wanted to do, the ideas that I had mm-hmm. for the business. So after that, I just said, you know, let me figure out what my exit strategy is and let me get out of it. But basically what I would do in hindsight is we would get new products. So if there was a new Bacardi flavor that was, you know, being dropped or a new Remy flavor mm-hmm. or anything like that, we would go in and we would market it or basically sell it to accounts mm-hmm. and which would be your bars, restaurants, clubs, and things like that. And then at night we would come back and we would do promotions. So it would be tastings. It could be shots, new shots for the Bacardi mm-hmm. flavors, anything like that to help to keep the brand in the accounts. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I loved what I did, but I just felt like the area that I was in mm-hmm. didn't really see potential for my growth. It was almost like, you know, stay in this box, mm-hmm. which is safe. And I'm not a safe person. I'm a risk taker. So
that's what's up. Mm-hmm. So did you do that? Was that one of the jobs that you did right after you? Because you did go to college.
I did. Correct. I'm a graduate of the Johnson C. Smith University. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a graduate of Fayetteville State
hey,
University.
Hey, Smithites. How y'all doing?
Fayetteville State University alumni.
Okay, HBCU love, always.
HBCU love. So that was that something that you did out of college?
Yes, so that was my second job out of college. My first job, we could say corporate America, I worked mm-hmm. at Allstate.
Okay.
And then I also worked at Baker's shoe store. So really, Baker's is where I kind of started the hustle of marketing.
That's actually where I think I saw you first at, yes. was at Baker's. Because I think you have a friend that worked in BB. Like down the hall?
Yes.
Okay. That's it, how I put y'all
probably
together.
Probably my last sister.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, I remember. I remember that. So going from that, and I know you said capping your growth. Mm-hmm. Do you think maybe at that time in that industry, could it have been, and I like to ask these questions, could it have been you think possibly age or skin color or anything, or do you just think it was just straight up just profession-wise?
For me, I think it was a little bit of maybe me being new to the industry. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the experience of the beverage, I was very new, mm-hmm. you know, very new. I think I was around maybe 23, 24 when I started working there. Mm-hmm. But the different part to that was I had already had marketing experience. Mm-hmm. Number one, of course, I have a degree in marketing. So mm-hmm. I was doing it, you know, in college and then right after school. I started working with a guy who I was his intern, mm-hmm. you know, and we started working on things. So I had experience there. And then after that, I started, like I said, with Baker's. I started to use Baker's as like a platform to partner with different businesses mm-hmm. and things in the city to create marketing campaigns for not only our store, but for their events and businesses as well. Mm-hmm. So even though I was new to the beverage side, I still had marketing background. Mm-hmm. And I think for that, in the industry where it's heavily male-dominated, mm-hmm. It may not be that they wanted to take the risk on some of the things that I wanted to do. Okay. And then not only that, we kind of had somebody that was doing like the AFM part. And AFM means African-American, of course, in the industry. So mm-hmm. it was they already kind of had somebody that was working on that. Mm-hmm. But it still would help if there was other people that saw it. Because the company that I worked for was predominantly Caucasian. Mm-hmm. And we probably had maybe about 5 reps mm. that were African-American as myself. And I probably was the only, I think, African-American female that worked in my department.
Okay. And so you did get to a point where you just said, look, I had enough. It's time for me to do my for me to step out. Now, at that time when you decided to leave that job, were you thinking about stepping out on faith and doing your own thing? Or did you transition into another field before you decided?
So no, like as soon as I basically said that I wasn't going to work that job anymore, I literally, and I'm gonna tell you exactly what happened. So what I did was I basically knew that it was time for me to go. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I had already checked out. You know how you just check out of something and you're just not with it anymore.
Right.
So I had already checked out in my mind and I was trying to figure out a strategy of how to get back to Charlotte. Mm-hmm. At that point, I think I had a meeting with my manager. And I told her what happened, and I always like to tell the story because it's true life. What happened was, and this was like my final stamp to get out of that position, was I had an account that I worked with, and he basically called me buckwheat. I'm natural, you know, black girl being natural in a, yeah, like in a predominantly, you know, white male dominated industry. And he called me buckwheat like one Friday afternoon.
He played it off. They played it off as a joke, or was he like this?
Well, he played it off as a joke, but my manager had no idea the connotation to the word, you know, mm-hmm. and what it really means. So for that, I didn't say anything to her that day because, again, I don't want to be termed as the angry black girl. Yes, specifically because, you know, Obama is running for office during this time. I mean, it's tight, you know.
Even though you reserved the right to fuck up.
In 2010, you know, it was just, it was sketchy ground. So
understandable.
For me, you know, I'm like, do I react in the you don't know me type situation, or do I say, you know what, let's call a meeting and
let's handle it.
You know, let's have a conversation about it. So didn't say anything to my manager when it first happened. I was just super like upset. And then what happened was we had like a brand kickoff. So I told her and basically pulled her to the side and let her know like what the guy told me. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh my God, you know, she apologized. She had no idea. It was just one of those things that was just totally, it went over her head. So at that point I was just like, this was in September of 12.
Mm-hmm.
It was time for me to go. So I basically, after the meeting, fast forward, had a meeting with her in the office, and she was just basically like, this type of stuff comes with the industry. Not what he called me, but just the level of, you know, energy that those people, they give. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, either they want to do business with you or they don't. At that point, I felt like, let me just not. And then the backstory to that was I was allowed not to have to go sell to him anymore, mm-hmm. so that it wouldn't be uncomfortable. So they did handle in that part. He did, you know, offer an apology and everything like that. But at that point, I felt like I'm going to run into this several times. Right. So I don't want to put myself in that position. I don't have to be disrespecting in order to get your business. That shouldn't be, you know, the agreement. So called my mom. We had a meeting, and she was just, you know, like I said, she said it was basically a part of people just being disrespected in the industry. When I saw, I called my mom and I'm like, hey, I quit. Mm-hmm. Of course, your mom's gonna have your back.
Right.
She's like, come on home. So at that point, you know, for me, it was like my lease was running out. Well, it was time for my lease to go. It was time for me to figure out a place. So what I did was a weekend, I came up to Charlotte, found an apartment. This is all God's work. Like, it was really meant to be. In that same weekend that I quit my job, I wrote my resignation letter, told her I'll give her the 2 weeks, you know, to resign, wrote my resignation letter, found an apartment, was approved for that apartment, and was all ready to go by October 6th. So October 6th, 2012, I was back in Charlotte.
Okay. And yep. That's when you started 518?
So I started it in November of 2012.
Okay.
Yeah, started it in November 2012. I was just like, I just want my own business. I feel like I'm built for this. As a young kid, it's something I always wanted was my own business. But what happened was I had no plan. Like I said, I jumped off the cliff. I literally jumped off the cliff. I just said, I want to have my own business and let me figure it out. I already started with contacts that were in Charlotte. So people already knew me from Baker's. Mm-hmm. So when I told them that I was coming back to the city and what I was doing, it helped because then they were able to connect with me and to see like what type of business I wanted to start. So of course my background was in marketing. I said, well, let me just do like a marketing agency. Because I didn't have a plan, there was no structure, no financial plan, anything. So I basically, you know, 2013 was like real deal.
Real deal, Holyfield.
Rock bottom, flat on your face, we gonna get this out the mud type work.
So when you stepping out on faith, talk about how difficult that is. I know you said you're a risk taker, but at the same time, I would think that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I would think that there would be some type of reservation because you not doubt, but you're saying to yourself, can I do this? Mm-hmm. Will I be able to do this? Mm-hmm. So just go through that process of how you was feeling at that moment about where you think you was going to be able to go with doing it.
Yeah, like at that moment, like when I had left, I was already tapped out and I was ready to do my own thing. And I felt like for anything that you want to do, you at least have to just start. And I realized all my life I've been that person to where I've never been really counted out, but it's always been, you know, you're from a small place. I'm from a very small town in South Carolina. I'm from Pageland. Mm-hmm. So things like that, it's always like the odds are counted against you. And for that reason alone, I felt like I wanted to represent what may not the, you know, like opportunities that may not be afforded to you. Mm-hmm. Why not be a person to say, you know, if I can do it, you can do it as well. So that was really like one of the standalone reasons why I did it and kind of jumped off the cliff. But the other thing was I knew what my value was and I know mm-hmm. what I'm capable of doing. So why not just start? I think that was the biggest thing in terms of faith is that if you're faithful and you, you know, are not fearful, mm-hmm. then you should be able to move forward.
Right.
Even if you're not sure, a lot of us aren't sure. Every day you wake up and you're not sure, but you just have to have that mustard seed of faith in order to believe. And for me, that's always been instilled in me that you can do whatever you put your mind to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really my standalone reasoning for going forward.
So that's when the 518 group was born.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of talked offline about it. I was telling you that I had it in my nose. But, of course, 518 is based off your birth date and things of that. Let's talk about the 518 group. Let's talk about how, you know, the things that you were able to accomplish. I think with any type of event, type of work that you do,
mm-hmm.
it's always about building relationships. Mm-hmm. So how was you able to leverage that into a successful run in your business?
I started stalking people that I wanted to be around. And that's dead serious.
Like stalk.
Stalking, like getting to know what they do, mm-hmm. getting to know the circles that they're in,
mm-hmm.
getting to know, you know, their accomplishments and just the work that they put in. Stalking in a way to understand that the rooms that you're putting those rooms mm-hmm. for a reason. So if I'm going to be a person that's in that room, then I need to make sure it's the right room for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my approach to that helped because I approached the people in the rooms that I wanted to be in terms of how can I assist you?
Mm-hmm.
Not really what can you do for me? I remember years ago, I used to ask Kazar. Shout out to Kazar. I used to ask Kazar, like, hey, you know, he used to do like listening sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember meeting him one day in like DTLR, and I forgot who the artist was, but I asked him, like, is there anything that you may need help with? And let me know because this is something that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically was just like, show up and stay consistent. And so then after that, I went from wanting to be in the room with Kazar and the listening sessions to being on his list of people to email and say, hey, we have this new artist and, you know, we're doing a listening session, fall through.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just one of those things where anything that you want, go after it, but make sure that you go after it in a way where you're not being disrespectful
mm-hmm.
or too thirsty. So I always made to be approachable, but not in a sense to where I look like I'm just trying to be in the mix just to say I was there, you know, and offer what my value
mm-hmm.
to let people know that there's a reason why I'm approaching you.
Mm-hmm.
So to have that conversation or network with me is going to be beneficial for the both of us and not just one-sided.
Okay. And I know you had said that, you know, that was your experiences and things like that. I think there was one thing that you was also doing along with 518, if I'm correct, and I hope I'm saying it right.
Mm-hmm.
Woman Entree 2.0?
Women Entree. Mm-hmm.
Woman Entree
in 2014, 2.0. Yeah.
So what did you learn from, is that something that you had built with your friend or was that something y'all had kind of partnered with where you was giving advice about marketing tips and things like that?
No, I came on chance meeting that I had already knew one of the girls that had co-founded the organization, and mm-hmm. her name is Jania. Shout out to my sis Jania, love her. She's another HBCU graduate, Winston-Salem State.
I met University. Her. I have met her.
Yeah, she's my Sarah too. Whoop whoop. So met Jania at a chance meeting, and her and I just clicked automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like we were kind of like spirit twins in terms of just our energies and everything. So connecting with her. And then she started to tell me about the organization that she had co-founded with another girl.
Mm.
And it was just to help women in general with their businesses, help them to build, help them to understand the financial parts, help them to just develop, because that was the piece that we were missing in Charlotte. So for that, I came on board and said, you know, I do marketing, so why not, you know, mm-hmm. bring that in terms of all of us working together.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a class and I think I taught a course on marketing, the basics of marketing, but then I ended up just moving forward with her and the other girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we held on for like a good 2.5-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Women Entree is still going now. I'm still a part of it. I definitely support it. But I think in terms of where it is now, we do more mastermind sessions instead of like full on courses. Mm-hmm. So we do mastermind sessions and we just have speakers that speak for the different mastermind sessions.
Okay. Well, salute to Woman Entree.
Yes.
2.0. Mm-hmm. Also, so let's talk about the, you kind of touched on it, I guess, building relationships. Mm-hmm. But I want to speak specifically on the relationships that I think Black women are building. Mm-hmm. I mean, y'all are doing a lot. Let's face it. I can't even dock it. Y'all doing a lot.
Yeah.
Y'all are really on your grind. And I'm going to say with Charlotte, I see it a lot more. I think, so what do you think is the, I think what I'm seeing a lot of you all do now is y'all are getting together and y'all are collaborating. Mm-hmm. I get sometimes that, you know, there's a catty side to things, mm-hmm. At times. But I think what I think Charlotte is doing, especially the Black women in Charlotte, is that y'all are finding those opportunities to partner together to make things happen. How do you feel about Charlotte and where it's going in 2019 when it comes to building relationships with other women who are doing their thing and not looking at, okay, let's work together and not just compete against each other?
I think the dope thing about all the women in Charlotte that are, you know, making strides is that we all support each other. Mm-hmm. Like, I, for one, would never feel like any other person is like, and I'm not intimidated by what the other women in the city are doing. I big them up, if anything. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely that person that's going to extend my hand to say, hey, sis, how can I help you? Specifically because I have my own platform, which is Dear Sister Charlotte, that I created to be a part of that very same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, the purpose of Dear Sister Charlotte is to build a more stronger and supportive sisterhood. And in that terms is being more productive, being accountable, being financially stable and understanding where we can get those resources for. So the greatest thing of all with this Black girl magic, and not even just Black girl magic, but sisterhood in general, is to make sure that we're more supportive and there's more unity and more togetherness. Specifically because, you know, we're the highest grossing when it comes to businesses, you mm-hmm. know that, and not grossing, sorry, we're the highest growing of businesses. Like, we create businesses the fastest, mm-hmm. but we have, you know, access to the less capital than men do. So we're banding together like a strong army because mm-hmm. we can do this. And for me, I'm excited about that because I see it happening. And I remember the groundwork that everybody put in maybe 5 or 6 years ago in Charlotte. And so to see all those seeds being harvested now, it's just like, it's amazing because I remember when we were probably both sitting in Amelie's or sitting in, you know, Packard Place crying our eyes out because we're like, what's next? Mm-hmm. But now, because the movement has been so strong, we're able to really see what everybody is doing. Mm-hmm. And for that, like, I salute any woman that's because to step out on your own, or not even on your own, because everybody's not an entrepreneur, you know, but just to step out and pursue whatever your purpose is, mm-hmm. purpose and passion, you know, I commend it because everybody don't have it to do that.
You stole my thunder, too. I was going to lean in about the Dear Sister Charlotte, but you kind of talked about it. So just kind of expounding a little bit more. I think you're going on 3 years with that, right?
Yes. This was my third year. Yep.
I want to salute you on that, too. I think the first time you did it, was it, I'm not gonna say where it was because I can't remember, but I did see the pictures. And when I look at things like that, to get that many people in there in the room at one mm-hmm. time, that shows that you're clearly doing something right. So mm-hmm. what's the process of going through that, saying to yourself, you know what, this is something I want to do.
So with Dear Sister Charlotte,
because it is a brunch, you do it as a brunch, mm-hmm. right?
Yep. Okay. A millennial brunch that I do annually. So the backstory to Dear Sister Charlotte is I held on to that idea for 5 years before I released it. Mm-hmm. You know, when God is pushing you. And I say it because I'm, you know, super spiritual. So let me just say that part.
Amen.
so when God is pushing you to do something, you definitely want to do it. Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to be like, you know, what is going on? So when you go to sleep and wake up with that same gut feeling, mm-hmm. then you need to pursue it because it's a reason for you doing so. So because that came to me with Dear Sister Charlotte, I said to myself, if I were traveling to another city, which I actually did previously in that October of 2016. Mm-hmm. 2016, I was in Atlanta, went to a conference, and all of that conference was like Jamie, you just need to do it. And I had a meeting with the lady, you know, shout out to Keisha, who was like, if you don't have this stuff together by November of 2016, I don't take you serious, and you might as well just forget about Dear Sister Charlotte. I mean, she didn't say it in those exact words, but I felt she was letting you know. Yeah, basically she was letting me know, like, you need to get moving on this idea. You've been sitting on this for 5 years, since 2012, 2013. You know, what's the reason? What's the holdup?
Was it fear?
It wasn't. Part of it was kind of fear, but it was just unknowing, like I'm stepping into, you know, an unknown territory. Mm-hmm. Because I have been doing a lot of things in Charlotte, something to pull off as a brunch to the magnitude of what I wanted to do it was different for me. Mm-hmm. I was already doing sipping shops in the city, so that's like a little pop-up, correct, you know, marketplace shopping opportunities. But to pull off a brunch with the amount of women that I wanted to join, and then with the level of information that I wanted to give, I wanted it to be different. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, brunches are popular. They're the it thing to do, whether it's the party brunch or if it's just a brunch. Everybody brunching. We brunching everywhere.
Well, technically, men are brunching. Men are not brunching.
Men are not brunching.
We're going to talk about that later.
Okay.
But women do love to brunch. Yes. So these are the things that women love to do.
We love to eat. That's why we brunch.
Men do too, but when men do brunch, I'm not going to call my man Julio and say, yo, you want to go get some brunch? That's just not happening, man. We just do not brunch. I mean, if a woman invites us, or it's with our wives or a girlfriend, or just some homegirls, we're going. But I'm not calling him up saying, yo, let's go get some pancakes.
No?
Nah, I'm not calling him up to say, let's get some pancakes.
You don't be like, yo, dog, I'm hungry. Let's go get some meat.
That's different.
The same as going to get brunch.
But what time is y'all brunching on the weekends mainly? Because people are working during the week.
I'll eat any day of the week.
You're going to eat, but when you're going to brunch in the mimosas and the hey girl, it's going to be Saturday or Sunday around between 11 and 3 o'clock.
Who's available? Wednesday.
I feel you.
Let's go.
But is it going to be with a man or a woman most likely?
It's going to be whoever's available. Listen.
It's mainly women.
Because I'm eating. I'm eating.
Women are mainly available. But we're going to talk about that. Okay. Park a lot that, because I got a question to ask you.
Okay.
Question to ask you about that. Talk about your, I know you said that you are from Pageland.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had been to Pageland a long time ago. I was dating somebody in her family.
What's her name?
Yes, we're talking about. This was a long time ago. This was probably about 12 years ago. But I did go to Pageland, and I had never been there before. Talk about how Pageland has made you who you have been. I know you talk about that a lot during your social media. And I think you do a lot of philanthropic work around there, right?
Yeah.
So talk about what Pageland did for you.
So, you know, it's where I'm from, it's where I'm rooted. It's pretty much the reason of my being. Like, for me, people laugh, and especially when I was in college, they used to be like, oh, you so country with them watermelons from Pageland. But if it wasn't for Pageland, then there would be a Jamie. You know, and for that, you know, I have to hold it and hold it down as much as I can, because and for all things, because it's just who I am. I can't deny that, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm from this big city, and I'm not. Like, I'm a country girl. You know, I ride dirt bikes. I ride, you know, four wheelers when I can, you know, watermelons in the summertime, picking plums when I was a kid. So the basis of Pageland is, I like to think of it as, you know, small places sometimes produce big dreams. Mm-hmm. And in that way, it's when you're in a smaller area, you don't have as much access to resources that kids that grow up in major cities do. So the term get it from the mud is, you know, what we rely on the most, because sometimes we got to go an extra 3 or 4 miles just to get work done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, you know, I drive 2 hours technically back and forth to get to Charlotte, because I still live in South Carolina.
You stay there now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So for that, you know, having to cross over the state line just to say I'm in the city of Charlotte, you know, that's always been a process. That's been what I've been doing probably for the past, 15 plus years?
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was in school, you know, going back home, it was, let me go back home and come back in a day, just because I was afforded that opportunity to do so. So coming back home, it's like, I want to share the resources that I have, you know, with my community, because that's important to me.
I'm the type of person that, you know, I want to see us all win. So when I see us all win, that means that whatever I got, you got, and I'm going to share it with you.
Okay. Shout out to Pageland.
Yes.
How many stoplights y'all got out there?
Stoplights in Pageland?
Like two.
Let me see.
Because it's just that long. Is it just that long strip?
No. There's more to Pageland than just a long now, strip.
Now, was it like that 12 years ago? Because it was just that strip 12 years ago.
No. See, this is why I be cracking, you know. Yeah, I love to crack up.
Well, I really can't talk. Well, but, yeah, I could talk a little bit. But I'm actually from a small place, too. But it's called Goldsboro, North Carolina. So
I know where Goldsboro is.
But it's not Pageland by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. But that's what's up about Pageland. So talk about your support system. And I like to ask these questions. So do they support friends, too? Friends, Soros, Lion Sisters?
Yeah.
Are they big on supporting everything that you have going on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In the beginning, a lot of my friends, especially the day I told them that I quit my job, my friends were like, okay, what are you doing? Like, are you serious? But I had two friends that was like, do it, Jay. Mm-hmm. Just do it. And they knew from the beginning that, you know, I would be where I am and still climbing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of my friends in the beginning were like, what, you're going to be an entrepreneur? Like, what does that look like? Like, are you going to make money and things like that? And I get it. You know, we're all used to being comfortable in certain terms. So when you kind of step out the box, it gets a little iffy and people aren't really sure. But for me, I was confident in knowing that I'm going to make it. I hustle, you know, I'm a hustler. So I can sell water to a well. Whatever I need to do, I'm going to make a dollar, you know, flip it and then, you know, have five. So for me in that term, like, I definitely wanted to make sure that I had a good, strong support system. Like, my father passed away in 2004 when I was in college, right? So my support system has kicked in basically since 2003 when I came to college. But, you know, my mom and my sister, they kind of understood what entrepreneurship looked like. You know, my mom's in the school system. My sister, she's worked, you know, had a 9-to-5. So for them, they didn't really understand what entrepreneurship looks like. And I always talk about this, and so they know. So it's not, you know, like this quiet secret of them not really understanding in the beginning. But it was something that I had to sit down and explain to them, because it wasn't structured normally how they would go out and get a job, right? So there would be days where I'm like, the invoice ain't clear yet. So, you know, you got to hold on a second, but I'm going to get it done, you know, and it could be 2 months from now. It could be 2 weeks.
And I think it's also being old fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, being old fashioned and not really aware of those, you know, that they just feel that. I think my mom said the same thing, like, go to college. Graduate.
Right.
If you want to go get your master's, which I did, graduate and go get a job.
Right.
All they care about, they don't even care about how much you make. They want to know, oh, you got hired? How the health benefits?
Right.
So you look at that thing. And I think also with an older generation, sometimes they project their fears on you.
Right.
And that's probably what I think happens a lot of times. But now we're in that stage where it's like, look, this is what I'm going to do. Support it or get off. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So coming to that, like, did you have mentors?
Mentors in my mind of people that I, again, you know, I like to research. I'm a researcher, so I like to just look at other people that were doing the same thing that I was doing. So in my mind, they became, you know, like my mentors in my mind. I actually reached out to a person and asked, would she be my mentor? But she didn't have time for me, so that's cool. You know, and a couple of years later, I ended up working with her, you know, on my own platform. But I think for me, I used to be around a lot of guys in the industry, like just guys that told me, like, yo, like, you're a pit bull, like, you really have something. Don't ever let up, you know, don't let people try to take advantage of you. And to this day, you know, I really have to commend them for that, because a lot of them made me stronger, specifically because, you know, if you're a female in a male dominated industry, you're going to automatically be looked at as emotional or weak because you are a woman. So being around a lot of guys early on, I had to learn how to move without feeling. And a lot of days it killed me, because, again, I'm still a female at the end of the day. And I don't want to be so hardcore to where it's almost like I don't have feelings, because I'm a very caring person. You know, I'm a loving person. I'm always willing to do, and I'm always willing to give. That's just by nature. That's just who I am. I'm a nurturer naturally. Just being around guys, like, it helped me to see when I'm running game. Like, I know the talk, I know the language, I know mm-hmm. the lingo. I can spit it back to you just as you give it to me. So in terms of that, it is helped. But I think overall for me, being grounded has been the most that I could say. But definitely between my mom, my sister, you know, all my friends, my Sarahs, they show up at my events. Mm-hmm. You know, they're sharing my posts. Whatever they can do to help, even if they can't physically help, mm-hmm. then I have a major support system. Even strangers that I don't even know. Like, shout out to them, because honestly, your closest people aren't the first people that'll probably be the ones to support you.
Message.
Yeah, believe it or not.
And that's why I asked that. That's why I asked that question, because yeah. I'm a firm believer of, especially with the things that I have going on. I mean, I guess I'm kind of cold-hearted to a point where I don't try to care what my friends, you know, some of my friends think, mm-hmm. because they have their things going on. They have the things that they want to do, you know, right. and I try to support them, you know, with everything they have going on.
Right.
I mean, and if they don't support me, that's fine.
Right.
But the reason why I say that's fine is because I'm not going to stop what I'm doing.
Right.
And just might not have an interest in it. But yeah. there is somebody out there, like you was talking about, strangers yeah. that will kind of have an interest in that. So with that, with Charlotte, like, what do you think the identity of Charlotte is right now, 2019?
It's like young millennial. It's a heavy city on everybody's creatives here, and I think in their own right, you mm-hmm. know, I meet a ton of creatives, and like I said, on a journey, I've met so many other people that's hustling like me, mm-hmm. and I like to say hustling versus grinding, because you can, you know, a grind is like short term. I think you yeah. know you grind to do, but a hustle is like a forever game. Mm-hmm. You know, you find many ways to hustle. So I think. It's hard to put a specific identity on what Charlotte is mm-hmm. because we're a melting pot of a multitude of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be the sexy, sophisticated at night. You know, it could be the hard grind, you know, hard work during the day. Like you said, a lot of people work 9 to 5s, but then you would think they'd be entrepreneurs because they still have, you know, something else that they're building. Mm-hmm. So they're using the 9 to 5 platform to help them build, you know, what they truly want to do. Mm-hmm. And I respect anybody that does that. You know, if somebody was this, or if I apply for a 9 to 5 tomorrow, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing with 518, because that's funding what I'm doing. You know, the grind is way different though. You know, when mm-hmm. you're doing entrepreneurship versus, you know, working a 9 to 5 all day. But I think to say for Charlotte is there's still some time to work on what it looks like to explain it. You know, like I'm still learning and looking at other people. I know there's always rooftop parties. There's always parties, day parties. Mm-hmm. But I do say it's a city to be innovative. It's definitely a city to where you can create mm-hmm. whatever you want to see, create it here. Because believe it or not, there's a ton of people that will support you.
I agree. I think Charlotte is moving in that vein. And I just want to see the city shine. I think we're at the point now where we do have that. I think we sat back long enough, and you look at the Atlantas and the New Yorks and right, things like that. Right. But I think Charlotte has their own axe to grind. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we get there, and I hope you do that as well. So what I like to end with on my podcast, I like to ask the one question, which I think is the premise of my show, mm-hmm. is sure. What's next for Jamie?
So what's next for me is I would love to in 2020 I'm preparing. It's so crazy today, 2020. Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Okay. So in 2020, I'm preparing, of course, for my 4th annual Dear Sister Charlotte. But the bigger things for me is I'm scaling my business right now. So mm-hmm. in terms of scaling, it's the type of clientele that I work with and the projects that I deliver. So there's a few things that I have idea-wise that, you know, I want to work on in order to make the visibility of 518 stronger. Mm-hmm. And that'll come like second, third quarter. Well, this is second quarter. So maybe like third quarter, mm-hmm. those things will be released. But I really just want to grow. I want to do more for my community. I have a basketball tournament that I do annually. It's the 7th annual Kings of the Court basketball mm-hmm. tournament. So what I do with that, on top of me just recently receiving a proclamation for my hometown. So I have a proclamation, 518. Of course, it means my birthday, but for the proclamation, I want to empower and inspire others to mm-hmm. support education and empowerment. You can always continue learning. You know, education to me is a big thing, and education has got me this far. So I just want to inspire others to continue to educate, you know, mm-hmm. the younger generation that's after us, because they're the next group of leaders. So for the basketball tournament, I collect donations to award two seniors a scholarship for college, whether mm-hmm. that's tuition or books. I know what it was like for me when I was going to college. So all money, you know, any money is necessary when in terms of going to school. Thanks. So I do the $500 scholarship. I would love to do more, you know, later in life. But for the tournament, it's just the opportunity for me to get my community together and to say, look what we can do. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the bigger things that I love to put together every year. I don't have a team. I just have people that show up, you know, when it's time. Mm-hmm. Thank God for the guys that play. They've been loyal for the last, you know, 6 years of playing.
That's what's up.
They contact me and like, yo, Jay, you know, it's tournament time. Like, let's go. But I also want to do a brunch for the young ladies at home. Specifically because it's needed, mm-hmm. is necessary, and we need to reroute the guidance that those young girls have. So between the brunch, between the basketball tournament, and like I said, a few things with business, like I just want to keep growing. You know, evolution is, you know, limitless. Like I just want to be able to grow and build and evolve and mm-hmm. show other people their capabilities just like I have mine. And I just want to be able to share that with the people that have been there for me since day one.
Day one. Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
I do appreciate you sitting down with me and telling us about 518 people.
Yes, yes.
So be looking out for it. She has a lot of good things going on, so I hope you all will go along for the ride just like I'm going along for it. Let people know, give people your information where they could find you at or if they
want
to get in contact with you.
I don't want them to stalk me like I stalk them. Just kidding. Hey. So I am on Instagram. My personal IG is XO Hello Jamie. Mm-hmm. So that's XO Hello Jamie, J-A-M-I-E instead of J-A-I-M-E because some people get that confused.
I do.
Business page, yes. Business page is at the 518 Group. So that's at T-H-E 518 Group. You can also find me at Dear Sister Charlotte. That is my women empowerment platform. So that is Dear Sister CLT. And my philanthropic efforts you can find on Project First. So that's Project First. And I think it's SC. If not, it might be INC. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm trying to juggle a lot of things at one time. But yes.
That is what's up. Again, I want to appreciate, I want to say thank you to Jamie for sitting down with the Who Got Next podcast. And I am your host, E-Dub. And like I always tell you all, if they out there, I will find them. I'm always paying attention to what people have going on. And I will try to make sure to speak to them and get them in here, man. Just let them tell us what they got going on, too. All right. So you can hit me up on my IG page. My IG page is WhoGotNext_CLT. And if you have any questions or comments or maybe somebody you want me to kind of check out on the low, email me. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. All right. See you soon. Peace.